Good morning, everybody. I would love to say someday. It's really good to see you. I do see your icons and such, but I trust that you are well, walking in grace. Before we begin, let's start with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, just thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your sermon on the mount. Thank you for teaching us about the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes, God. I pray, God, even as we move on, that you will continue to sear those qualities, that blessed quality, into the very fabric of our spirit, Lord, in our hearts. I pray that your word today, God, would be effective and that it would go forth, find fertile soil where it would take root. And God, don't allow us, God, to walk in our own way, but God, walk in your ways, God, according to your will. So we pray, God, just for your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray for those who are hurting right now. God, just hurting. And we have just been beat up this week, Lord, at work. And just pray, God, at home, taking care of children and just in need of rest. God, I just pray for your spirit now, just to go. God, just refresh them. I pray for your word to renew hope, God, that you would know, God, that they would know, God, of your goodness and taste, God, of your goodness. So just for your Holy Spirit to stir, God, stir in us just a deep affection. God, for you, restore us unto yourself. Okay, with great intimacy, as you have promised, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about salt today, what it means that we are salt, and that we also act salty. So let's dive in. So this is now Jesus as he. Now, as he concludes the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes, he then launches on, you are salt. So he starts with the eight, blessed are you. And so he's talking about those who are blessed, those who are going to and have been sown these qualities. These would be the future believers. But he's not just talking about them. And he's not talking, we don't know exactly the entire audience, but he's talking about those who are blessed. And those who are blessed are going to have the qualities of the Beatitudes. They will, because the one thing I love to say, I've heard it from a former pastor. He used to say it, and I love thinking like this. I love knowing this, and that is, I'm not a great man, but I am a blessed man. And if I ask you, are you blessed? Are you blessed? Are you blessed by God? Normally when you talk about blessings, and it's the way, even in the Old Testament, I mean, we see stories, just being uprooted. And it doesn't make sense because blessedness, by the majority at least, thought of in terms of monetary blessedness. So people who are blessed, had, more, rams and lambs and goats and land. I mean, that's just the way we, at least in the Old Testament, And then you had, Job, where all of that is uprooted. And Job is like, he doesn't get it. And then God comes and shows Job his grand plan and his marvelous ways. And he's just repenting before God because, true blessedness, goes beyond just material or circumstantial blessedness. And so, Jesus concluded the Beatitudes and talks about what true blessedness is. Blessed are you. And it had nothing to do with circumstances, not in the way, like that required good circumstances. Blessedness is in the midst of the most difficult circumstance. He's creating this new kind of human being. And that those who not only just endure and suffer through, but who are thriving in that environment. And I'm talking to you, you know, because I know that many of you are suffering through great circumstances, painful circumstances. And I want you to know that that's necessary for God to then bring about the kind of human being that he has already created in you, that you will grow, right, in these qualities. And he calls these qualities salt. I know that many of you, right? So, like, well, salt flavor, you know, it talks about taste, so we're going to read that. But, you know, and then preservative, the functions of salt. But I just want you to know, like, we're not on a crusade to take on multiple causes. That's not the salt, you know, preserve society. It's not that those are not part of it, is it whatever we do, the true blessedness and the saltiness that he's talking about, what makes, you know, us salty are the qualities of the Beatitudes. And so as we conclude the Beatitudes, we want to contextualize. Well, when he says salt, you know, he just finished the Beatitudes. So we don't try to define salt and take, you know, what we think, you know, the flavoring of the food and the preservatives. Of course, but we have to see that in light, in context of the Beatitudes. So let's read Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, think about this now. Let's contextualize. I want to pause here because this is so important. You know, people, we are salt. And the Beatitudes are all relational. It should not surprise us that none of the Beatitudes, we're going to go over them, stands without being relational. And so, you know, when it says has lost its taste, that means that other people have tasted your mercy, right? You being a peacemaker. Now, we're going to go through that. But they need to taste that. That means it requires, so you can have a relationship. I have friends at work, right? Where, you know, like I have, you know, like these concentric circle type relationships, but the goal of my relationship is that they taste salt, that they experience. Why is that? Because those qualities are not, you know, born out of my goodness, and those qualities rise out of my oneness with God in my new created heart, which is home to the Spirit of God. So yes, when things are tough and you serve beyond your means and in difficult circumstances and you're biting your tongue and praising God instead of grumbling, when we experience that. And those qualities become necessary as we relate to difficult people. People now get to taste what salt is like. People in the secular world, folks, do not taste salt. And you know, I had this wonderful conversation even with my daughter, you know, the other day. And you're just talking about, like, you know, like relationships and skills required for relationships, you know, and how they're so different than kingdom qualities. You know, in order to develop relationships, I mean, you have to have people skills, right? I mean, so whatever that means, right? So you, and then you have to have high EQ, right? That helps, right? The studies have shown that, right? But those in of itself do not require you to be merciful. You can get to some kind of bonding through those two qualities, right? Active listening and all of that. Those good people skills, right? Seven ways, to influence people, and all these, there's not a shortage of books out there, right? That talks about, people's skills and, listening and communication and all of that, but they do not, okay? Those added up do not mount to salt. Jesus says, you are the salt, meaning those who are blessed, that's the salt. He's not talking about everybody in the world is salt. He's not talking about everybody that was listening to Jesus's sermon, because everybody who listens or reads the Beatitudes are, they're not necessarily believers. But he's talking about those who have been blessed with those qualities, and we're going to read that. And so salt is not just to be salt, right? Where nobody gets to taste it. You're salt so that others can taste it and experience salt. You know why? Because every quality in the Beatitudes are the qualities of Jesus Christ. And so when people taste salt, they're not tasting you. They're tasting God. Let's continue. How shall its saltiness be restored? But if salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? We can't restore salt on our own. It requires a newly created heart. We'll continue. It is no longer good for anything. It's useless. That's what it means, right? It's the word good here. It's actually able, could, right? And that anything is like really not. It's really able for nothing. Good for nothing. Good for anything, right? So that means if we have the kind of quality where other people cannot taste the qualities of the Beatitudes, we're not being useful. We're not being helpful. Except, and here's the harsh part, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. See, back in the early days, right? Things that are the salt that came out of the Dead Sea, right? It was contaminated. A lot of it was contaminated. Gypsum and, I don't know what that is, but, I was reading on that and, but it was contaminated and through, like water, they're trying to purify it, but sometimes water gets in there and, and salt dissolves and you got this thing, right? That looks like salt, but it's not salty. And so you're kind of like, sometimes you throw like sand on the ground, you're just, and use it for something, just, for people to, I don't know, things got muddy or something, right? But it's something to be thrown out. It's not salt. So you can't use that for its purpose. That's the point. I mean, if you throw it out, and onto the ground and, you might have had a reason for it, but it's not for salt. That's not good for its purpose, good for anything. So the visualization is, hey, look, I mean, it's just, it's like being discarded. And we're so, sometimes we work so hard, for this life. When we see, I mean, I just remember, when I used to, see my parents, my mom, she used to work in, a diner and coming home at 11 o'clock midnight, she was a busboy. That's how she got started. And then she, started working Amtrak, making food and hot kitchen, type stuff to, working in a factory, breathing in solder, like soldering components. And, and it's just, every time I thought about it, like, man, you know what? I thought that blessedness for her was a big house and, a nice car, great vacations. I mean, just, like no suffering, great, don't even have to work. Maybe if you do, great job, I mean, it stirs such a compassion until she got cancer, I mean, and when she got cancer, my mom didn't like people. She just didn't like people. She didn't like inviting people from the church, she just wanted to be left alone. And, my father wasn't very helpful with that, and she just, always working at home and, and just coming back late and, tired all the time. And then when she got cancer and, she just, like sunk into some sort of despair, one thing that God did was in the midst of that, in the midst of that, I mean, there stirred in her this hunger and this thirst. I remember just talking to her, and she was never hungry and thirsty before. And she began to see things differently. She wanted life, but not in that, in the old way. Now, I don't even know. I mean, like at some point when you get older, she wasn't that old. She was like, maybe like 60, 61, 62. And, but I don't know. There's this kind of wisdom. I mean, it's not that she didn't go to Hawaii, because she did. I think, we like, sent her there. My dad had some money and like she went to Hawaii and stuff. But I mean, it just wasn't the same. And thank goodness. Maybe she worked too long, and all the ability of fun was just sucked out of her. You know what she wanted? She wanted meaning. She wanted this life to really matter. And all the work that she did in her life, I think she wanted it to kind of count. And I just remember, I was like, wow, I think it's counting. You know what I mean? Like all the times that she had to suffer and, just your, it wasn't a waste. She began to hunger for more than just a comfortable retirement. And I appreciated that. She passed away not too long after that. But I guess, what am I saying? It's like when you lose just your taste for this world and you see it for the rubbish it is, for yourself, and you want the deeper things, you want your loved ones have begin to see that the qualities of the beatitude that God is shaping in us is true blessedness. And let's take a look at it. Okay. What does it mean to be salty? Right? So let's talk about being salty. Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt. You are the salt. So those who have, of you who are coming into the kingdom, who walked through the narrow gate to say, hey, you know what God's like saying? You're salt. All those things that you just, read about in the Beatitudes. Well, let's take a look at it. I know it's a little small print, so you might have to lean in a little bit. So I just want to go through the Beatitudes, the qualities of salt, and why, this is salt preserves, but what does it preserve? It combats decay, but it combats decay of relationships. It preserves relationship. It builds relationship. That's what salt does. It builds, sustains. Okay. Poor in spirit. Like for those who grew up, right? As those who have been kind of battered or bullied or, victims of racism and sexism and, like those, you lived without, you grew up poor. The one thing Jesus did when he came and identified not just with the poor, he was poor. But not just poor, but he's like, but Matthew was a tax collector. He wasn't poor, but he was broken, And so Jesus comes as a carpenter and just who does he pick up? The fishermen, those people who are broken. And you know what? He takes people like that. He comes like that. And he says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. So blessed are you who are poor in spirit. You know what that means? That means these are my people. Right? These are my people. I identify with them. I know how to make friends with them. It's not so awkward all the time. And if it is, I know how to wade through that. I know how to lean forward into that. Pour in spirit, right? It's your identity. Look around you. Who are you friends with, right? If it is not an option. You came to Christ because you were a person of pain. You were humbled by life. And you know why? Because coming to Jesus is a hungering for Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Believing in Jesus is a thirsting for Jesus. How does hunger and thirst come? Well, because you're getting beaten up. Life is hard. And you identify with people in those situations. And you know how to mourn. You know how to mourn your sins. You know how to grieve your sins. You know how to empathize with people and suffer along with them. Okay? Blessed, right? You have a tender heart. When people correct you're not always defensive. You know what? I'm sorry about that. Right? People who have a tender heart, you're vulnerable. We talked about this. Blessed are the meek. Meek. You know what that means? Submitted. When Moses was the meekest, he was the most submitted to the law of God. Meek does not mean sheepish. Okay? Weak. Meek is not weak. Meek is powerful, right? In that you have the ear of God because you are submitted to his word. That also means that you are righteous because meek and righteous go hand in hand. Meek are the ones who are submitted to the law of God. Righteousness is the result of your submission. And so right after meek, it talks about hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we went over this before when we talked about this, right, in our few sermons ago. He was telling his disciples, hey, look, your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees, all the religious people, right, who have memorized verses, who know their Bible inside out, yet they're not blessed. People don't taste, right, the saltiness, the your tenderness born out of a new heart, your ability to identify and lean forward in building relationships with the poor and people who are in pain. You thirst for righteousness in that. If the greatest commandment and if righteousness comes through the submission and obedience of God's laws, and all laws are dependent on the great commandment to love one another, and you hunger and thirst for that, the quality there is what? Of someone who is thirsting to care for people. Because they're hungering and thirsting to be closer to God. There is no being closer to God, except through wanting to be close to people, where those qualities are necessary. And so that's difficult to admit. And Pharisees are like, no, like I'm close to God. I don't have to be close to people. And be close to poor people and people have diseases and stuff. Forget that. And Jesus is like, well, you're saying forget you then, right? Forget you, God, right? Because you can't say forget them and not say forget you, Blessed are the merciful, right? That's both compassion, again, another tenderness, a compassion there, and forgiving. You don't hold forgiveness like a weapon. Oh, I will. Let me see if I need time to forgive. No. You have a wealth. Your debt has been canceled. God has given you all, everything. Everything that is of value that belongs to God, he has given it to us. You do not hold out forgiveness like a weapon. It is not a choice. It is a commandment to obey. When you submit to that, you are meek and you are righteous. And notice how those two things are relational. Merciful is not having compassion. That's a command. Why? Because if you're going to be one with God, one who is sending his son to suffer and die to forgive, that's us. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those, right, who do not become deadened to sinfulness. You know, because, well, it's just too hard to, you know, like, you know, it's hard to, you know, combat porn. I'm just going to have, you know, it's just something I have to live with. No. People who are pure in heart, I've never met anybody who is pure in heart that is not radical. Radical. If you can't be radical, you're not blessed. Because, look, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. Combating sin is warfare. And you bring the weapons of war, right? Mutual confession, radical departure. Hey, plucking out your right eye? Maybe throwing away your computer. Maybe having somebody monitor your router. Things like that. Well, and that's just one aspect, right? You know, we got other things that require radical. So if you're harboring bitterness or you're harboring envy, how about going up to that person, right? And trying to what? Instead of confronting them, how about trying to bless them? Radical. Forgiveness, maybe you don't feel like it. Lift your hand, and in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven on his behalf because you're one with God. How about trying stuff like that? If you wait to feel like doing things like forgiving, if you wait to oh, maybe like combating temptation will become easier. If you're waiting around and, you know, look, life, tough things in life require tough and radical solutions. And so if we want to follow Jesus and he says stuff like, well, pick up your cross and follow me, renounce all that you have. I mean, he is calling upon us to a radical life, radical, like placing ourselves at risk and in danger. People don't, what does it mean to be a Christian? Safety is not the luxury of a Christian. Not at the cost of relationships. Not at the cost of the Great Commission. It isn't a call to be careless nor reckless, but it is a call to be radical. It is a call to accept risk. That's the call. Now, pure in heart is not adulterating and making his word palatable to the natural self. It isn't. You're not pure, right? Pure means you hold his word to be true and you act upon it. Peacemaker. Saltiness right there. Look, those who are peacemakers, they're not out there just making friendships with yourself. You know what you do? Like, you help people network. Because you're not just bringing people to Jesus. You are bringing people to Jesus, but people forget this, right? Well, you're bringing people to the body of Jesus. That's Jesus. So, you know, when you're meeting up with folks, you cannot have a scenario where you have now a separate relationship with people that is a an inner circle kind of a thing going on and not have them, because if you reject them, you reject me. because you reject Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying, right? Now, if people are churched, being useful in another church, don't ever, okay, mess that up. If people are unchurched or superficially churched, okay, you're introducing people. When you are a peacemaker, right, you can't have peace with God and be distant from God and distant from his body. You can't. It's risky. But that's the deal. If you're salt, that's the deal. You have to now, right? When you make a good friend at work, hey, why don't you come over? Hey, I'm going to invite, you know, Hito over, and we're going to try to connect. But your goal isn't just building relationship with yourself. Your goal, right, is mutual building. What do you think it means to build one another up? It means, right, getting out there, and you're not just building friendships with them, you're helping them build friendships with you and with others in the body. That's what it means to bring them into the church. And what does that look like to you in the era of COVID? Right? How much risk do you accept? And if you say, no, I'm intolerant to any risk, look, the Christian faith has never, never in the history of Christianity, right, been about zero risk. You always have to take risk for the good of kingdom building. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Look, if you're all about relationships, if you're about, right, building the kingdom, if you're about that, you're going to be persecuted. Why? Because you're vulnerable. You're tender. That means you have to forgive. That means you're going to be hurt. And many of you are already being hurt. You're suffering the pains of mean words. Why? Because when you get close, things are said and things are done that requires you to be merciful. Right? You're going to encounter difficult people. Right? And you got to take difficult people into your life and into the lives of others. You spread that difficultness. But it's nobody else's job. It's not somebody else's job. It is our job. Because Jesus said that. That is required for you to preserve, right? For you to be tasteful. So you're drawing people into relationships because people, I never met anybody like you. People want that. They want Jesus Christ. And then you preserve, right? Relationally, right? Through your own suffering, your mercy, compassion, right? True righteousness. You turn the other cheek, right? You pluck out the other, not the eye. Maybe you unplug the computer. Maybe you get a different phone plan, right? With not so many gigabytes, not so unlimited. Folks, unlimited internet? Are you serious? You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the things. Check your gigabytes. How many hours is that? And how many hours is that for your children? Hey, well, because look, if you're going to have pity for people, have pity because they don't have these qualities. Don't pity your parents, your anybody, because circumstantially they're not blessed. If that was the case, Jesus would have said so. But he doesn't say that. He said, blessed are those who are in those situations. Those people are probably closer to the kingdom, okay, than you may realize. Our quest is the opening of eyes, right, through the Holy Spirit. Okay, Psalm 34, verse 8. Says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, I know that many of you, I've heard your testimonies. I mean, I know that you are a people who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. There's nothing like the Lord. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed. That means, right? Man, you're jumping on that bandwagon. You're out running with that pack. So, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You know, one of the hardest things in, you know, this area is, you know, when we go to work, you look left and right, and it's just like we suffer want, right? We suffer want and hunger. That's what we want. We suffer want. It causes us to be jealous. It causes us to envy somebody's life. And here it is. You just haven't tasted how good the Lord is. You just haven't seen, okay, what the treasure that you have gained. Our weakness for envy, bitterness, you know, our circumstances, oh, some of these guys have better bosses or, you know, better employees or better employee, you know, or peers or, you know, my professor and, you know, my parents and my siblings. And, you know, it's like we look around and it's just like always like, you know, you log into social media. Oh, my gosh. It's like a cesspool of want. Somebody eating something that you want to eat. They're on a vacation that you want to be on. They have a job that you want. And it's like, you know, they have a spouse that seems to be way better than yours, you know, and it's like, ugh. And you can't believe his word that those who seek the Lord, what? Lack no good thing. All, if you got all of that, that's not even 0.001% of what you have in Christ. It's like we're suffering the desires of fools because they cannot taste nor can they see. They cannot taste nor can they see the true treasure of this life. And Jesus is like, open your eyes, taste. Why do I talk about this? Right? Because Jesus says, tasting the Lord is tasting you. Because you are salt. Why do I say that? It says, 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. People, Jesus Christ has commissioned his people. Through you, people will know the compassion of the Lord, the radical and extraordinary mercies of God. They will know that forgiveness, that kind of forgiveness, right, that only comes flowing out of a heart that is extraordinary. Right? They will meet a person who is forgoing the things of this life to follow after and identify with the people of the poor, those who are broken, those who are in pain. Look, people are tasting the Lord through you. They are. And they will make a determination. If you are ordinary in your dealings with people, people, and you are identified as a Christian, people will think, wow, God is pretty ordinary. We are the ambassadors. That's what Jesus says. I mean, that's what Scripture says. Acting salty. So, when we embrace being salty, because we are salty, because we're a different kind of human being, now we go and be useful. Salty qualities are useful in the kind of building of relationships that is kingdom directed. We're not talking about superficial and nice and, you know, and oh, let's just touch base kind of relationship. We're talking about relationships that require mercy, compassion, right? Right? Suffering with the needy. I mean, we're talking about, you know, tough stuff. Tough stuff. But here's the thing. Rejoice and be glad, right? Isn't that what Jesus says, right? For those who are seeking after righteousness. Jesus is saying, rejoice and be glad because you get to be, you get to not got to be salty. Do you understand that when you act salty, you're acting on behalf of God? Let's read now the second part of Matthew 15, 13. It, now it refers to that salt that has lost its taste. That means the sodium chloride is probably leached out. The contaminated salt is no longer good for anything. It's no longer useful. If it's not fixed in your mind that the goal of friendships, goal of relationship is to express the salty qualities of the Beatitudes. When you meet people, Beatitude. You're, right? When you know, when you develop friendships, Beatitude. If you're not thinking Beatitudes, and you're because only a certain level of depth will require mercy, compassion, right? Those are the, you know, where you're really meekness, where you're submitted to the law of God, because he's saying turn the other cheek, and he's saying love, and yeah, man, this is tough. Well, if you're not thinking Beatitudes, then we're going to develop the kind of friendships that doesn't require saltiness. You will not act salty. You will not act in accordance with the Beatitudes, and so you're no longer good for nothing. You're not representing. You're not doing the job of an ambassador. What is an ambassador if he's not out there doing the job of representing the kingdom? Except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Mark 9, right? Strengthens this point. Mark 9:50, it says, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. And here it is. And be at peace with one another. It's just pointing out, look, you're going to have to constantly reconcile, right? Jesus, made this comment. Like, if you're in conflict with something, look, don't try to be like, oh, I'm good with God. I'm just not good with that person. Jesus doesn't know how to do that. When I hear that, it's like taking a fingernail to a chalk. Like, you cannot, God will not allow you, okay, to gloss over, okay, and make superficial relationships, right? That is not supposed to be superficial. Not with your spouse, not with your children, not with people in the church, right? He's saying, go, leave your gift at the altar, go and reconcile. Be at peace. That peace is not circumstantial because the peace that Jesus gives is not the way that the world gives. That's what he says. That means that peace, the world peace, you only sue for peace by compromise and right, rearranging circumstances. That peace, right, the one that Jesus gives, comes through the salt qualities of the Beatitudes. Discovering that, right? It's about relationships, isn't it? Galatians 5:14, right? It says, for the whole law, okay, now it's directed at righteousness, is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Notice how, like, the opposite of be at peace in Scripture is to fulfill, right, the law of God. The whole law including loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, can be summarized. Because you know why? Because now, loving others, right? You're loving God. You cannot love God and not love others. God will not allow you to do that. That is not why he came in and suffered and died. So you can have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ and personal relationship with Jesus Christ only, where you don't have to be salty. Now, that's like saying, if you're not salty, that's like saying God didn't give me a new heart. Do you understand? The evidence that you are a Christian is the evidence that you have the qualities of the Beatitudes that other people are tasting. That other people are tasting. And if you have become tasteless, you have become useless. And God does not create useless things. And so it is perplexing. Even Jesus, right, is saying, well, how do you restore salt? You know how you restore salt? You either have to pray for a new heart or you have to what? Be out there sharing your saltiness. 2 Timothy 2:21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. Look, whatever you're doing, if you are not, right, useful, that means you have not, let's continue. It's set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for good works. That means you have not. This is how you have be salt in you. You set yourself apart for this purpose, to be salty, to know people and develop relationships with people in a way where your saltiness is required. If saltiness is not required, you're just not close to anybody. Right? I mean, you know, in Korean, there's a word chung, right? It's like this bond, affection. But anyway, there's like ujung, which comes from friendships, and, you know, miunjung, kounjung. Like there's these words that describe bonds that are developing through like even bitterness and, you know, conflict and, you know, and it's like, and even, I mean, they recognize these are powerful bonds. Now, there are people who just don't know how to have chung. They don't bond well. You know what I mean? Like, people just don't bond with them. Like, look, you're salt. If you're salty, they're tasting Jesus Christ. And the goal of the gospel, the purpose that Jesus came and suffered and died, when you read John 17, his purpose is that we would be one with God and one with each other. That means bonding, and strong bonds is a necessary requirement of the gospel. Why do you think Jesus is preaching the Beatitudes? 2 Timothy 4:9. And here's something sad that Paul says to Timothy, right? In one of his last letters, he says, you know, Paul is now, you know, probably at the end of his days, you know, says, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. You know? And like, useful. Useful. Like, and how does God, we have our own idea of useful, and they all require us not to be that vulnerable, not to be that compassionate, not have the goal of strong connection. When I hear missionary stories, you know, ministry story, pastor stories of how conflict and, you know, people just don't know if the result of all this fracture is the inability to forgive and have compassion and be vulnerable, it breaks my heart. But here's the thing. You think I'm far removed I'm a hairline fracture away from deciding on any given day to withdraw from people, to not press hard. See, this life, right, is the most privileged life because this is what God is doing here on planet Earth. And I forget, you know? And then renewal with God is a renewal in your ambition for people. Romans 9:21, or does the potter have authority over the or does the potter not have authority over the clay to make from the same lump a vessel that is honorable use and one that is for ordinary use? Look, honorable use is not ordinary. That means relationships. Because we're vessels of mercy. You know what that means? It means you go around giving compassion and forgiveness. That's your job. I mean, seriously, we are like, if you want to be useful, develop relationships in such a way that you're going to probably be slighted, take it for granted, right? And then God will do something in you, transform you to be that kind of vessel. That's our ambition. And that, my friends, is eternal. 2 Timothy 2:20, okay? Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, that means, you know what cleansing yourself from dishonorable use is? That means you're saying, hey, look, my days are not going to be only spent, right? Escaping people, avoiding people. Okay, no matter what's going on, I'm going to start including them in my daily activity, where I have to be a vessel, not of ordinary, but an extraordinary, honorable, a vessel of mercy. He will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for good work. And here it is, folks. It's Hebrews 10:24. The reason why we are a church, the mission of our church, right? The mission of our gathering is this, and why you hear me say it all the time, right? In many different facets. Because Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You know, one of the things about work is that if one of us, right, when I was, you know, when somebody was, you know, when one of us was going to work every day during the COVID environment, what do? We pray for them. We pray for them. Say, God, protect them. You know why we pray for them? Because we knew they had to go to work. You know what? We're also grateful that we had a job because you know what? Many people right now are without jobs. But we do have a job. We have work in the kingdom. And that is of a higher priority. That means we pray for people who have to be out there in the era of COVID, right? Taking risks. If people are taking risks to go to work, right? But don't feel like they need to take risks to go out and do God's kingdom work. What's the deal? Why aren't we praying for people out there doing kingdom work? Is it less work? No, it's good work. It's good, it's great work. It's priority stuff. Not neglecting to what? Meet together, as is the habit of some, but not meeting can become a habit. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. The mission of our church, the purpose of gathering, is to stir one another to love and good works. That's what this scripture says. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. What is it saying? It's saying, yes, virtual, that's great. You know, we're putting our heads together to come out of this. You know, what does it mean to accept some risk? Teaching your children that accepting risk is part of life, not hiding behind them. You understand? This is tough. I love you. But we do not hide behind our children and teach our children
that kingdom life is risk-free. Because sometimes they might have to call your child to go out into an Ebola environment or some other environment. You know, most of my missionary friends who come back, you know, whether it's Tanzania or Thailand, they have parasites, they have diseases, malaria, their children have all this stuff. You know, and there's a lot of criticism. You know, how can they put their children in such risk? Do you think it's the way that God thinks? You know, look, God will look out after us. He will take care of us. That's his promise. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But we have to be about the kingdom business, right? If the way we're doing things, people are not tasting your salt, got to get it out there. That's the priority. Blessedness is when they can begin to taste it. And sometimes, what does that look like? I don't have all the answers, right? But saltiness does not stop because of this environment. Saltiness happens because of this environment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just your word, tough words, God, tough for me, tough for my family, hard to hear, hard to say. I love you, God, but we need your spirit, God. You know, you can't turn up the volume on this. Your spirit has to move. And so we pray that you would now pour out, God, a spirit of just confidence that you are our King and we are submitted to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let me summarize, okay? Kingdom building. Being salty is more than people skills, high EQ, or niceness. Salt priorities are the qualities and the beatitudes. People who know you and love by you taste Jesus Christ. People who know you and loved by you taste Jesus Christ and take refuge in him and his church. Acting salty is being useful to others through building and helping others to build relationship with God, with one another, those who are lost, and with you.